Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. The realm of Canada, I'm taught this by my colleague, Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing his column at the National Post about the new government of Canada, Mr. Carney's government, that is very familiar from the old government, Mr. Trudeau. However, there are important differences. One, obviously, is the realm of Canada, because a king was present. This is his realm. And Charles III, entering Canada with his queen, Camilla, was sparkling on the video that I watched. And then he read a speech to open Parliament, which is a ceremony I was unfamiliar with. The speech was written by the government. It wasn't the king's speech, although there were remarks in French that were perfectly done because this is a bilingual country. Actually, many languages, but dominant bilingual with the French speakers. And the king left me with an impression of, well, aren't they lucky to have one? We don't here in the United States. Conrad, a very good evening to you. What is the general opinion now that the king has come and gone with the queen? Was it a successful visit? Was Canada buoyed by it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, I would say it was a very successful visit. He had been here, he said in his remarks, this was the 20th time he had visited Canada, but it was the first time since he's been the king. And so I think people were glad to see him in that role. He had, as your listeners would remember, some ups and downs as Prince of Wales in the days of Diana and so on. And I think people were glad to see him behaving as a king does, and with the dignity and confidence and good humor. I think in general, people, you know, wish him well, and they're glad to see him, you know, getting around and recovered from his illness and so on. So I think it was the main issues were policy issues, but I think the actual presence of the king was well appreciated by everybody.
Mr. Carney is lucky to have him. It was a nice way to begin to be prime minister, because this is the first political office elected to, I believe, Mr. Carney's ever had. He's a central banker. And so we rush to policy because your column devotes itself. In praise of Mr. Carney, he's talking about internal trade. What does that mean?
Well, we have, and it's absurd, and it's often been stated to be absurd, but we have barriers within this country in matters of agricultural pricing. And, some of the provinces have substantial agricultural sectors and some don't, but there is a practice as there is in other countries, including the U.S., of a good deal of political influence in the agricultural community, and they insist on price levels that are relatively generous in some cases. And I am one of those, and it's a numerous group that has said for years that if the objective is to assist farmers with their income, there's nothing wrong about it. That's what we want to do. But we should do it by direct income supplements to them, and not by making everybody pay more than they should pay for agricultural products. And this is a point your president has raised in these tariff discussions, saying that it's outrageous that the United States should have to pay tariff, supplements of price like this for the sake of particular concerns within individual agricultural communities in Canada. So the prime minister has undertaken to address that. Now, if we get that solved, we'll owe that to the president of the U.S., and not that he was particularly aiming at that, but that's what it is. It's farm price supplements imposed in different provinces and passed on to other provinces.
And Mr. Carney also supervised, I guess it was in train, signing up to the World Health Organization again or continuing on the basis of the newly hammered out pandemic legislation from the World Health Organization. You find, and I agree with you, this disappointing because the World Health Organization failed all of us during the pandemic and continues to fail us because it won't speak what we know to be at least a large story needing to be explicated, that China was the beginning, origin, and guilty party in the pandemic. The WHO will not acknowledge that. Why does Mr. Carney insist upon going along with what he must know there are doubts about what he's doing?
I can't speak for him, but as you say, I found it disappointing as well. The particular issue here is this agreement that's been signed up, although some have not signed it, including Russia and Israel, for example. And of course, the United States at the moment is not in the World Health Organization. And what the effect of it is that if a pandemic is declared by the World Health Organization, it is automatically declared to be to exist in all of the member countries. Well, this is absurd, in my opinion. It's completely absurd. I mean, you can have a pandemic in Egypt or Belgium or Australia and not have it here, and vice versa. So I think it's an absurd agreement, and we shouldn't be signing it. On this one, I agree with the unlikely coalition of Russia, Israel, and the United States. And I the only thing I can think of is that Mr. Carney thinks that this is this is a sign of a cooperative attitude to the world, and he is not fazed by the shortcomings you described of the World Health Organization. From all I can see, it's a communist Chinese front organization and just does what Beijing tells it to.
That suggests that Mr. Carney remains the globalist that was part of the conversation during the campaign, a man who is much more familiar with Davos than he is with Detroit. And that is a puzzle for leadership. Now, there is mitigation. I heard, and I didn't read, but I heard that Mr. Carney was talking to the energy provinces of Canada, chiefly Alberta, about pipelines. Is that accurate, and is that a break with his past?
From what we've seen so far, he seems to be quite open to the idea, and that is a break from the past. And it's terribly important because Alberta has made it clear that it really, if it can't get its oil and gas to market, it is going to have to consider its position in this country. And I don't think that's an unreasonable position. I think it's absolutely scandalous we've got to this point, but we have. But with any luck and on what we can see at this moment, the result of this will be that the policy changes. The federal government accommodates Alberta's wishes. And by the way, the wishes of other provinces, there's no question that in Quebec, for example, which substantially imports its oil from overseas, including Venezuela's overseas, but coming in by water from outside Canada, the oil price would go down. The cost of gasoline in cars and the cost of home heating fuel would decline if we had the pipeline we should have from Alberta to Montreal.
Mr. Carney then has moments that you could suggest he's going to rule as a man who listens to the people of Canada? Is it too early to be so optimistic?
There's certainly room for hope, and the old expression, room to grow, there is science that he's adjusting his own views to accommodate not only political facts but the ambitions of large sections of the country here.
Conrad Black, writing his column for the National Post about the early days of the Carney government.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.